The following program may contain content that your kids would love to hear, but you may not want them to.
And he said to me, be sexy, so I was sexy, and I was sexy, and awesome, and fantastic. And he said, be fabulous, and I said, I'll be fabulous, darling. Oh, and I said, please be on my radio. And he said, yes, yes, I'll be on your radio. And I said, oh, I bet you say that to all the girls. Frank is on right now.
Call back again, okay? First, thank you. All right, who's this? Hold on one second.
Hey, this. You have someone calling on the web connection line.
I do. Who's on the web?
This is me, Frank. It's on the web.
Is it really? How do I know?
On the web connection
line. Jamie.
Good morning.
One calling on the web connection.
I got it, Eggman.
Silence.
Can you hear me?
In the distance of a pin.
Can you hear me?
I thought that my wife and daughter should live this land.
Hey, how are you doing tonight?
Ha ha ha. Ha ha ha, pal.
We interrupt this program for no reason. Had there been a reason, you'd have been asked to go along with it and perhaps even take off your pants. But there is no reason, so now we return you to the program.
It's Wolfman Jack in his own film version of a classic children's story, Wolfie Wolfie Bang Bang.
What a great car, Wolfman! Does it fly like Chitty Chitty Bang Bang?
I'm afraid not, kids. It just get in the back there and help me push it, will you?
It's fun for the whole family with Wolfman Jack and his enchanted car.
Start, now you know.
I bang, you bang, we bang, they bang, Wolfie Wolfie bang bang, we love you. I bang, you bang, they bang, they bang, Wolfie Wolfie bang bang, we love you.
Wolfman Jack in the fantasy fun film of the year, Wolfie Wolfie Bang Bang, coming soon.
Ta-da, ta-da, ta-da.
Memories, memories, memories.
Wake up! It's night! It's now!
Current time is now.
Y2K plus 16 on the wane until you get the third man, the pilgrim of productive alternative broadcasting, godfather of internet radio, the bard of broadcasting. Expect the unexpected, because the unexpected expects you. My name is Frank Cotolo. Man whose name adorns the title of the show. I'm looking straight into the crevice, straight into the abyss. I'm with you on Y2K plus 16. This is Cotolo Chronicles, and I'm the man whose name adorns the name adorns. You know the rest. Here we go. Ice cap to ice cap, from Hamlet to City, from Othello, and into every bordello.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Jesus. Happy birthday to you.
Today is Christmas.
Midnight Show at 09:30. Chaplain Charlie will tell you about how the free world will conquer communism with the aid of God and a few Marines. God has a hard-on for Marines because we kill everything we see. He plays his games, we play ours. To show our appreciation for so much power, we keep heaven packed with fresh souls. God was here before the Marine Corps, so you can give your heart to Jesus, but your ass belongs to the Corps. Do you ladies understand?
Sir, yes, sir.
I can't hear you.
Sir, yes, sir.
Yes, sir. I just got around the sea frill bellow and into every bordello. And maybe all I say about the seasonal occurrences and situation, because I usually don't do, never, I don't ever really do a theme shows. Everyone, everywhere. It's the very nature of this show, Total Chronicles, to be different, because we think differently, we see differently, we hear, we use our senses the same way, just differently. So I thought, boy, you know what would be great to hear? Ernie Emerald, I forgot the guy's name, I've got the actor from the Stanley Kubrick movie, the anti-war film, Full Metal Jacket, certainly not as bold as All's Quiet on the Western Front, but in its day, Full Metal Jacket was anti-war, and it's a chilling film for those of us who almost did that stuff. Oh boy. Not like I'd ever been a Marine. I don't think I ever could have been a Marine. Not me, Frank Cotolo, here on Cotolo Chronicles. And I swear to you, and I don't swear to you unless I'm absolutely sure what I'm going to say has reference to the spirit and forwarding the movement. Let's say movement, not forwarding. I don't forward this. The movement of this show, Total Chronicles. But I must have done this show in my head 6 times. Today, not 6 days from Sunday. You know, I saw a movie the other day where someone, yes, it was that wonderful adaptation of the play All the Way with Bryan Cranston as Lyndon Johnson. Okay. And, as Lyndon Johnson and, one of the lines that they have Lyndon Johnson say is six ways from Sunday. Now, and here's another stretch of the imagination. You know, every time you watch films, what have you, there's stretches of the imagination, but this was supposed to be 1963. It was right after when Lyndon became president due to the assassination of John F. Kennedy. And he literally used that phrase. And I'm thinking to myself, and I'm not going to do this, but I'm going, you know, I should look this up and find out who wrote this and where they were at the time. It's well written. I mean, there's nothing that's not well written about it, but it is a portrayal of a live, having lived human being, not a fictional character. So there's facts and feelings and stuff in there that may or may not be true. I don't know what the play or adaptation onto film at HBO was based upon. But when he said 6 ways from Sunday, I went, wait a second. I grew up in that time. I remember those days. And I know people who said a lot of things because I knew people. Oh, even older people. I was only 13. But I know, and I don't ever remember hearing before the 80s. But let's not even think about the 70s, the decades of 70s and into the 80s. Let's think about the 60s. When this would be the early 60s. No one said 6 ways from Sunday. And I don't know. You know, the Hallelujah Trail was just a bunch of sand at the time and getting ready to pave its way into the future. But nobody said that. And there are so many things today that are said in movies. And the movies are supposed to take place in another time and another space. Movie designers, people, producers, directors, and of course the set designers they're immaculate when it comes to putting together scenery, sets that reflect the exact period of the movie story. Okay? I mean, you have no idea. Maybe you do have an idea. I don't know. But I know people who have done this for a living. And it's hair-raising how they get into the minutiae of the era. And that era could be a year. Now, there are tons of mistakes. And if you really wanted to, and I don't know anybody who does this, but, you know, you could see a lot more subtleties that betray the time period of the production. I'm sure there's tons of things because we're not focused on the stuff around it, you know, but the ones that really stick out are in the dialogue. And I don't understand that. I guess it's because the people who do the designing and take great they take great effort to find the exact pieces of things that were used, a telephone, right? Anything, you know, in a regular room, normal room, whether it was a rich person or a poor person, in 1963, it would look a certain way. If it was the common, you know, whether it was a poor person, a rich person, or just a middle class person, it would look, there were certain things wouldn't be in that room. If it was an office, even if it was the Oval Office, which is where the scene I'm talking about in the adaptation of the play All the Way, called, by the way, All the Way, by the way, not by the way, All the Way, but All the Way. There, you would think that, and I guess so, look, I haven't been in the Oval Office in any decade. So I don't know how it has changed. I know it changes per president, and there are little changes, and there probably are very big changes now in the, as the Hallelujah Trail has come this far and has, you know, various equipment and pieces of stuff. Okay, that's fine. But what I'm saying is where the true era will be made in any of these movies that are, as we say, period pieces, you will hear it in the dialogue, and that's what happened. So the people who are doing the designing work may have recreated the Oval Office exactly as it was when Lyndon B. Johnson moved in this adaptation. All the Way. But the people who did the dialogue, even the dialogue, you know, there's a script girl who helps, you know, when they do retakes. I don't want to explain how a movie is done if you don't know it, or you do know it, then fine. The thing is that nobody stops and goes, wait a second. Not only wouldn't Lyndon Johnson say Six Ways from Sunday, and I don't know the origin of the phrase. I'm just telling you that it's 1963. Why? And that when that happens, I hear a lot of these things in other period pieces. And, you know, they do many, many period pieces. Now, I've seen this All the Way adaptation of the presentation. Oh, God. Stepping on my own wire. You know, a lot of times. I think I caught it, but I forgot about it. But it really hit me again yesterday because I've been watching so many movies. I love bioflicks, biography flicks, and I am as mad, and this is odd, I am as mad about the movie The Aviator, which is a Martin Scorsese's tale of a important time in the life of the aviator himself, Howard Hughes, the millionaire billionaire. Well, I think he was one of the first billionaires. in any event, in all events, certainly in this event. So, I mean, I watched that movie as much as Howard Hughes watched Ice Station Zebra. In his last years, he watched the same movie over and over and over again. Ice Station Zebra with Rock Hudson. And he ran it in his hotel room, which is where he lived in a hotel, which the hotel wanted to do something and he didn't want to do it. So he bought the hotel and then he could do anything he wants. Okay. That's a pleasantry. Not many of us are afforded and certainly or can afford for that matter, for this matter, or for any matter. But I like these period pieces and I'm always so appreciative of how the set designers and people that are involved in all that it takes to make the scenes look as if it is the time that the movie is representing, that period in time. So I watched and I haven't found any in The Aviator. I have not found any of those dialogue mistakes. But you know, the thing is that you can watch these things over and over and over and over again. Then finally, one time, you know, you hear it and you go, wait a second. I started to make a list, to believe it or not, and I know you believe it. And I don't know where that list might be. But I started to make a list of all these anomalies in the speaking dialogue of movies that are period pieces. And somewhere I have it. This bothers me. I mean, it could be a great picture. Don't get me wrong all the way, by the way. By the way, all the way is absolutely terrific. It's one of those things I wish I wrote. Like I wish I wrote Army Armored's, I don't remember the name of that guy in Full Metal Jacket, who played the man who I just played there from Full Metal Jacket. That's one of the wonderful monologues I wish, in the dialogue, monologue, speeches, whatever, I wish I had written. And there's way too many in the lexicon of literature. In the lexicon of literature. I like that. I didn't know it was going to be an alliteration, but that's the way it came out. So there's those things. I watched another wonderful movie I want to recommend to everyone, especially since it bombed. Its reviews were horrible, except for the person playing the main character. A movie titled I Saw the Light. Tom Hiddleston, or is it Stun? It's amazing how I can't get... Okay, this is another biography picture. Film, as my mother would say. And then biography. Isn't that a... You know, that's why they didn't call it film. They called it movies. Everything was a movie in the 50s and 60s. And that's why nobody said Six Ways from Sunday. I don't know where... If you find out, please let me know. Me, Frank Cotolo. fcotolo@yahoo.com. Write to me. So that I don't have to look it up. Because I don't have a lot of time to do that. Actually, I have a lot of time. I just don't want... I might do it. And I forget. I've got... Like, you have no idea... My list of things to do, have to do, and want to do. That's like three lists. We should have a show that just talks about lists. Shopping lists, lists. Things to do, not to do, bills to pay, bill lists, you know. We should do that. I think we will do that sometime. See now, if I don't write that down, I won't do it. I won't remember. In any event, in all event, and certainly in this event, I want to... Oh, I didn't tell you about... You're right. I Saw the Light is Tom Hiddleston. Himmelston? I'm embarrassed. Should know. Hiddleston? Hiddleston? Oh, my God. I don't know why. I don't know wherever I saw him before. I was never that impressed. But I bring up The Aviator also for the fact that, you know, I was never a fan... And I really didn't go for anything that was a movie that starred Leonardo DiCaprio. Even though a DiCaprio sounds like a Cotolo. I mean, it sounds like Leonardo? Come on. It sounds like a blue-eyed soul brother. And now that's a term they were using. They were using that term for black people, who in those days could be called black. You'd say blue-eyed soul brother. That would be a white guy. I was called that many times because I had many African-American friends who at that time were blacks, I guess, or whatever they called them. They called them a lot worse where I came from, let me tell you that much. But in The Aviator, what was, oh, I never did. And then I saw that movie, and I haven't stopped watching that movie because it opened up an entire area of investigation about a living being. That living being being, by the way, all the way, Howard Hughes. Okay, now the I Saw the Light is the life, it's not the life story, but it's a story in the certain time of his life of the West country Western singer Hank Williams. Now, whether you like or don't like country music, and I knew a guy, I swear to you, he was such an aficionado of songs and music, pop music. But if you put on a country Western song, this is now back in the days of when you didn't, they didn't say Six Ways from Sunday. Back in, and even, but no, that's exactly when this fellow was around. A mentor of mine from my teen years. He would literally get stomach illness from listening, from hearing the twanging voices and the songs done by country Western people. Now, there was, believe it or not, in New York country West, in New York City, okay, in the 60s, yes, I believe it was the 60s, country Western music became so popular that a radio station with the format country Western launched. Now, I don't remember the exact, again, I don't remember the exact, I don't know the call letters, but there was a country Western station, this goes to show you how much radio has changed too, a country Western station that played the country Western hits. And in those days, we're talking about, you know, Buck Owens, you don't know maybe, Buck Owens and the Buckaroos, you know, Farron Young. These are people who later on in my life, in my career, I wound up spending time with and knowing in certain, you know, in a celebrity, profession, let's just say celebrity professional, way. And it was amazing, but this is like, that's how I knew all this stuff. It was amazing that I, when I got to Nashville and was in the business, in the country Western business, music business, that, these people didn't, how did they, how do you know that much? They'd say, you know, and that was the '80s. You know, how did I know that much that long ago about, you know, sixties, this foundation. Now, Hank Williams, wrote some of the greatest, in my opinion, and if it's not your opinion, then find your own opinion. One, some of the greatest, just genuine country Western songs that, and they'll live forever. Okay. This guy's a foundation. He bridged the gap. He started the new country, whatever that might have been. And this is like 1948 to 1950, 51. This is around the time I'm born. So I don't know him, but this stuff has never stopped being played or covered by other artists. So, and this man, you know, a little bit about him here and there. And I had watched a horrible movie and that was done in the '60s of all times. And, cause this is for some reason or another, we're in the '60s that we're talking about this stuff. And I am in my '60s. So there's that. That also. So, and there was a movie called, I think it was called The Hank Williams Story. And George Hamilton, I was talking to someone this week and I told them that I saw the light, by the way, all the way. I saw the light and loved it, even though it got terrible reviews. And Tom Hiddleston, I'm calling him Hiddleston, I don't care, was terrific. I mean, he's great. He's not, and it's, and I was saying it's so much better than the biopic they made about Hank Williams starring George Hamilton. And my friend went, what? George Hamilton? You know, George Hamilton? If you look up these names, if you don't know them, you millennials, look up these and just try to figure it out. But this movie I saw, is wonderful. He is terrific. And it shows the true maniacal, disturbed, contorted personality of a brilliant man who in his genre, in his profession was brilliant. Hank Williams, Hiram Williams, whatever his original name was. Highland Williams, Hank. And this, I could not stop watching this and I'm going, well, you know, if I had to review this, wow. If the movie in itself belongs to the main character, then Tom took it away. It should be a great movie just because of his performance. So I don't know where those reviews settled. I don't know what they want, some reviewers. And any event in all events, and certainly in this event, this movie has, if it's taken place in 48, 49, 50, 51, whatever, in his short life, he died at 29 years old, that's not giving away the movie, okay? If you don't see Tom, whatever, Hiddleston in this, then I don't know what to tell you. But I am telling you right now, I didn't see any flubs of dialogue. And the atmosphere, the scenes, the scenarios, the sets were all very much in order with the times in which the movie takes place. So there's that. Again, I'm running into a cowboy theme here too, because I may do something. As you know, I didn't really put this show together, but I'm telling you these things that happened. So, but I know, here's what I know. I know I'm going to watch this movie again and maybe again and again. And eventually something may pop up. And what I'm saying to you is, when you watch movies and they take place in another time, not present, just any time but the present. You know, we don't know about the future. And I've talked about that too, because when so many movies of science fiction, obviously, that take place in the future have incredible, because it's the future, we take more for granted. So when everybody's like loving Star Trek, Captain's Log 2099 or 2299, right? All the stuff that's going on when people can move their atoms through space and phase out and all that stuff that they do. And there's no internet, there's no cyber activity in those days. It's okay. If you talk about science fiction, And H.G. Wells, or Jules Verne about submarines and, the things that they predict. But in the future, it's different. But in the past, it is exactly as it was in the past. So you can't do a movie about the swing era in the 40s or World War II and have people saying, dig it, man. Well, you could say dig it, man. You know, there's a lot of phrases that the jazz people said, okay, in the old days. And when that moved into the beatnik eras in the 50s and stuff, you know, the language metamorphosized. And regular people said it, regular people. I mean, normal people would say things, you know, but in those days, only those people. So there's the language of the time, which is very important, and I think it's overlooked too much, because when something like that happens in the movie All the Way, by the way, All the Way, when somebody loves you, okay, you can even, and then, you know, I made fun of that by singing a song, but you could listen to music and songs, especially because they have lyrics and people sing, not just music, songs, and go back and listen to the lyrics of songs, and there's a, you don't hear things. You don't hear the words like you hear in other words, a Sly Stone was saying things. You didn't hear those words and phrases. Words, you can hear the words. You don't hear those phrases in songs of the 30s, do you? Okay. I've made a point, and it's just something to think about, because that's what this show, Cotolo Chronicles, is all about. Thinking for yourself. Thinking all there is to think about something, not just what you want to believe or feel to believe. I've been getting even more upset about that, and I shouldn't get upset. I mean, it's just so noticeable what's happening and what has always happened in language. And I've talked a lot about language on this show over the years, and there have been many years that we've been on the show, and how pop culture designs the language of our times, and how people say things people say things they don't know what it means, and people don't say what they mean. There's a whole thing there, right? They say what they say what they mean. They say what they don't mean. What they know what they, you know. You know what I mean. There are the five words you hate the most because a person can't express himself. So I thought I'd mention the anomalies of movies at the same time that I tell you, please don't miss. Even if you don't like, as I mentioned, even if you hate country western music, and there's a lot of people that hate it, especially that older type country music. Cause, you know, urban country, by the time I got to Nashville and was working at the old WSM, which became a network over at the Nashville Network when that existed, those, there was the new, they called it new country. And if you played a Hank Williams, you were playing an old, a really moldy oldie way back, you know, and yet so the urban country, all the country that is music that is out there, since then and now, there's still many country western stations. No more in New York. Well, there's no more stations for music anymore. But that's how popular the country music, because it was very much, it was very rock and roll influenced in the days of the, in the 60s. So I don't know if it was WJM. I don't know. You can look it up, or Jiggy Jaguar can look it up, or someone who really is so into radio that they must know these things. Did you? And by the way, speaking of so into radio, that beginning, I actually played a collage. That collage I did not now create or recreate from the beginning of this show when we opened it. I got that from, the October 4th, 2012 Cthulhu Chronicles. And what I had planned to do is find, there's something in there about, speaking of cowboys, and I don't know why this cowboy thing is coming about. It might be because I saw the light, the Hank Williams story, or, and it was just a coincidence that I picked out an old show, because I was going to run some classic Cthulhu Chronicles segments on this, the Y2K plus 16 Cthulhu Chronicles. Did you see? What was that anyway? It was trying to suppress a hiccup. Hiccup. Where does that originate? Hiccup. All sorts of stuff. So I do want to tell you. So anyway, welcome. My name is Frank Cotolo, the man whose name adorns the title of the show. You will have to replenish your precious bodily fluids as you listen live. And even if you're listening lifelike, which means that this show is being rebroadcast on any number of other stations, and they do. Rebroadcast them so you can listen to it. If you go to CthulhuChronicles.blogspot.com, you will see a list. We haven't updated the list in a while, but we do know things like True Talk Radio, where we're on twice a day. Twice a day. You have no excuse. Do you want an excuse? You have every excuse in the world not to listen to me. The best that these shows, the best excuse is I don't want to. I have a life to lead. I can't spend my, except so many people are spending time with earphones, walking around listening to podcasts, radio broadcasts, music mostly, mostly music, which has all sorts of different language than does any other time of this millennium. Well, no, no, last millennium. That's where we are at that point. So the collage I played was what opened up the October 4th, 2012 show, which was we're talking about the Lone Ranger. And again, this fits right in, and I think this will work fine if we play parts of this. You'll hear me talking about, because at the time this show was done, the new Lone Ranger movie, which, by the way, Disney, Walt Disney, let me listen to this, Walt Disney himself didn't, because he's dead. He didn't lose money. He lost his life way before he lost all this money, or his company, named after him, lost this money. The over $200 million lost on this movie, The Lone Ranger. And again, I saw this movie, and for as bad as any movie could be, it wasn't that bad. I mean, it's not going to be one of those movies you'll watch again and again and again, I don't think, unless you are. But if you're being introduced to the character The Lone Ranger, you are not being introduced to the character that I grew up watching on television, or that was the Lone Ranger of the legendary Lone Ranger. You know, there's another word, but we'll get into that someday too. Legend. Legend. Calling modern day people, even people from, legend. highly overused and just shouldn't be. I don't mean for the sake of the greatness of the person. I mean by definition. But, you know, these are things you could either look up and find interesting or not. And I hate the word interesting. Find them fascinating. That's better. But so this cowboy thing, just so it's odd. It's odd. It is not a, you know, it's nothing magical, spiritual, or anything that I picked because I thought I was choosing another show. Here, I thought I was choosing a show from November 4th, 2010. But I wasn't. I went and I said, wait a second. Where's the guy I was on, the guest that was on? Not there. And because of how badly these shows are archived in terms of numbers and, you know, I wound up getting October 4th, 2012. And I'm going to be doing that in a while, playing for you the story of the Lone Ranger, according to me. Now, here's one of the reasons I'm doing this. And I've mentioned this before, I'll mention it again, because not everyone listens all the time. And that is that people have told me, I remember a show you did about this, and I remember a show you did about that, and boy, that was great. I'd like to hear it again. Now, okay, that's I would too. I do, because I have no idea. I don't take this material on the road, okay? I it goes on to this broadcast and goes out there forever. And, you know, and it goes into archives, like Juice Talk Radio. But there's a bunch of them I don't have. Don't have them. These shows, a lot of great shows are lost because they were just done live and that's it. And some of them were lost even later when we had all the technology to record them, but something went wrong. So a lot of things lost, and just like in life. So we can only go back so far. So far, by the way, all the way. You can't go all the way, by the way. Only so far. Thank you. And that being said, which was just said, I love that. I'm going to move away from the mic, otherwise I clip. The little line goes all the way up there, all the way up to the top. People said, you know, so I said, okay, you know, every once in a while I'll run a classic, a piece of the inside of a new show, because I, you know, if I'm not available or something happens technically or gosh forbid I'm ill, too ill to do the show and a rerun has to go on or I have to work somewhere else, then, you know, I always feel bad that there's a rerun, but at least it's something. But, so I don't like to do reruns and I have not done them unless for emergencies. But here I am now. I had this little wound and I have a Band-Aid on and it just became itchy. And I remember it was either my mother or my father. I don't know who was, but it was not a doctor, said, it's healing. When something gets itchy, it's healing. Is there a doctor in the house? Hello. I don't know if that's true. Something gets itchy, it's healing. What if it's not? Anyway. So this October 4th turned out to be the show about the Lone Ranger, the new Lone Ranger compared to the old Lone Ranger, or the legend of the Lone Ranger, who's a legend, which goes back to when I was a kid and it was on TV starring Clayton Moore. Some name, it's amazing how some things I can remember no matter what and other things I have to reach for. To obtain, to remember. So that television series, which is only, you know, another interpretation of the legend of the Lone Ranger, who originally may had to change. He metamorphosized because the original Lone Ranger in the story was an African-American, or in those days called a Negro, right? He was black, and in the days of white television, days of television, beginning television, and that whole era coming out of the 40s, there were no African American, black, Negroes, whatever you want to call them, not whatever you want to call them, because some of you may be horrible people and call them terrible things. I mean, there were no dark skin, let's just say dark skin heroes. There were nobody, the cowboys had nothing. It was bad enough how they treated the Indians. And I think I mentioned in this, Native Americans, now called Indians. And I think I mentioned it because Johnny Depp is in that movie and he got this. Does that have anything to do with it? To play an African, not an African, to play a Native American. Johnny Depp, who played Tonto, the Lone Ranger's trusty companion, trusty, as opposed to his nemesis companion, he received $75 million. $75 million to play that role. It's mind-boggling, and it's stool-shaking. My stool just suddenly went back. If I go back, oh boy, it rolls down the plane. Ah, rolls down the curve there. So, $75 million. Yeah, but what's he take home? I'm serious. That is more. Man, that is amazing. I don't know the statistics here. See, I'm not like one of those people. I think that's, it certainly is more than any Native American ever made for any one project or any, how many days of work, weeks of work, huh? Certainly. But that doesn't matter. The thing is that he played, Tonto, the character of Tonto has did change and became a incredible dynamic character to the Lone Ranger in the movie, The Lone Ranger, which now runs on all these other cable channels a million times. And it's, I think it's worth the watch. Okay. So that gets my endorsement, at least that. It's lots of, you know, there's passable movies. Movies that you can watch them. Maybe they don't become, you know, ingrained in your menu of inspiring or just entertaining movies, because we are drawn to movies and, we're drawn to art for any, so many subjective reasons. Maybe not, but I, you know, it's fine. The Lone Ranger. And at one point they even used, William Tell Overture. But I talk about that in this October 2012, Y2K plus 12, which is already 4 to 5 years old. Wow. Wow. I talk about the movie and the legend and the Lone Ranger. People of my generation, certainly boys, are they are what? They are, they're somehow connected to cowboys and Indians, and an incredible genre of the time. And TV, oh boy, television cowboys, the Lone Ranger, the Range Rider, Bat Masterson, and the, Wyatt Earp, who were, and there you go. Then that air. You watch Bat Masterson and Wyatt Earp on these TV stations, cable stations I have now that play all these reruns on the 50s and 60s. You're gonna hear dialogue that there's no way. Not only the dialogue, you're not even going to see authenticity in scenery as well as you would in good motion pictures. Terrible. And of course, we know that goes way back to even movies of the 40s and 50s, because nobody bled in the, you know, so many people got shot in Western movies. So, there's so many, but never a, that, you know, Sam Peckinpah began that in a way. He's the one who said, let's really show what this looks like when guys get shot in movies like, in the movie, not movies like, Billy Kidd and Pat Garrett and Billy the Kid. That's one, but that's not the one I'm talking about. I'm talking about the Ugly 12. No, the Ugly, the Wild Bunch, which is filled with how people get shot and just the terribleness of that. And the difference between, you know, that and how movies portrayed and romanticized and made up and changed history so that it was more appealing in sight, sound, and whatever. So the Lone Ranger TV show, there was no bleeding. They shot people. Nothing. The Lone Ranger himself, that was pretty, anyway. You'll hear it when I talk about it, when we come out, when I do it for the second hour. I'll do that and then stop it when I'm done, when it's done, when it's over, when it doesn't really feel like it should go on. But if you haven't heard it anyway, that's why I do it. That's what it's all about. That's the strangeness of it surfacing after my watching, looking for another classic Cotolo, and why we do classic Cotolos. My name is Frank Cotolo, the man whose name adorns. Title of the show, this is Cotolo Chronicles. I am chronicling. Now, in the 15 minutes before the end of the first hour of this show, as we move down the Hallelujah Trail, and remind you to wake up at tonight and replenish your precious bodily fluids. You know what's wrong with these plastic? Let me tell you something about these plastic bottles. Because they get recycled, that really does hell with, sound. Ooh. Those are very high pitched sounds. These plastic bottles, in this case, I'll tell you, it's Acadia, natural spring water. And we've been through that too. I have no idea if this is real. I have no idea. I guess they have specifications. When you crush this thing, cause we crush them and then stick them in a recyclable bin and then give it to two people who recycle them. Something that was never done because they weren't plastic bottles. There were bottles. There were glass. And then they filled them up, washed them, and sent them. And hopefully you didn't get them back like my grandfather and get sick. That's a whole nother show. Maybe we'll find that. You crush these things and then you throw them in the recycling can. I guess it's a can, even though it's plastic. And then it could be like, I don't know, maybe an hour later, you'll hear crackling. Because the temperature's changed in the room or whatever has happened that allows the plastic to expand. So no matter how you crush it, it doesn't stay crushed that way. When you're sitting there in dead silence, as I do often, and then you hear that, I go, what the hell is, you look around, what the hell is that? Who's, I can run and get my baseball bat or my 38. I don't have a 38. 38, I remember when I was 38 though. I only knew then what I know now. What do you know now? Well, the older you get, the less you should know. Not believe, know. And that's a whole nother deal. Oh, this paper, I have this, what's left of this, piece of stationery. No, not stationery. It's a loose leaf paper. I almost forgot what that was called. It's the original. Wow. It's eaten up on the bottom. It's decayed. It's got coffee stains on it. Cotolo Chronicles, it says. Y2K plus 8 plus 11. So it keeps constantly crossed off from when I started writing it. It even has look at this. Don't forget we're on MySpace. That's going way back. But it goes back before that because that was written there. The blog, the podcast, the Hallelujah Trail, it says. And, I don't even know. Tending to your curiosities. Cotolo Chronicles. Conversation. Insubordination. And whatever else is gone. It's gone. But I keep the piece of paper. I want to remind you before this that it's still not too late for you to get presents, and those presents being the books, the digital books, or I guess right now let's just talk about the digitals. I think it's too late. Maybe it's too late to get hardcover analog books and have them sent to somebody because the books are expensive, and then to send it and get there before Christmas is amazing because UPS and FedEx say, we'll still get it there by Christmas. Well, you can by Christmas Eve. Yes, I can. That would be like in 2 days because if they deliver on Saturday, and they would during the holidays, but they're going to charge you like, I don't know what. I don't know what they charge you, but it's extra. Should have done this before. But if you send something digital tonight, if, of course, you're listening to this, and it's still not Christmas, if you're listening lifelike, and this is next week on some, wait a second, you can give gifts too. You could still give gifts. There's no law yet that says you can't give gifts after the Christmas day, right? And after all, Hanukkah begins on Saturday. There's 8 days. Isn't that 8 days of Hanukkah? Isn't that there's, cause you're like eight. So there's gift. You're supposed to get a gift every day. So Hanukkah people can give gifts digitally. And And these are wonderful gifts. I want to mention, even for holidays, I do want to mention this. These are PG books. Even though they deal with adult material, it's adult material that has to do with, that does not have to do with, anything particularly graphic or, okay, hardcore. There's not. I don't do that. And there's hardly a bad word in any of the books written by Frank Cotullo, available on, ready, Amazon, blurb.com, lulu.com. Those books are all available in digital form. Give as a gift. I know you, anywhere you can do that. Buy it and give it as a gift. And what happens is a link to download that book in its digital format will be sent to the person that you are gifting. I don't know if gifting is the correct word. This is another thing nobody ever said. I'm gifting this to you. Giving as a gift, they would say. Okay. To whoever. Now, that includes the following books that would interest you, perhaps. Sweet Shepherd. This is a novella. It's short. It's not a novel. It's not a short story. It's right in between. Okay. And it's like an Oreo cookie. It's not like an Oreo cookie. Okay. Sweet Shepherd. Man of La Mancha, which is still all the profits of from Man of La Mancha going to Four Culture magazine, which at fourculture.com, where you should go and read stuff anyway, right? Okay. And listen to things. There's also music there. The kind of music that has lyrics from today, or if they do from, you know what I mean. Okay. Contemporary. Yeah, right. Modern. That's Man of La Mancha. There's also License to Skill. This is a novel. It's a lot longer than, well, it's longer as a novel. I got books that aren't even available yet. Okay. That's not your problem. None of this is your problem. I'm just telling you that you can buy these books. They're so cheap. And yet this is true value. $2.99 or $5.99 at Blurb for both. Each is $5.99. The Molotov Memoirs and more Molotov Memoirs. Keep waiting. Maybe Son of Molotov Memoirs will come out. Bride of Molotov Memoirs. There is an O1 plan, but that's another story. We're going about our business, okay? And, so you could still give these gifts, even if, you're listening on a lifelike show, which is a rebroadcast. You still give these gifts. Go there. A lot of you have Amazon accounts. You might even get, because you have Amazon Prime, I think you can get all sorts of books, if you already sign up for this stuff. But at lulu.com, they're even cheaper because these are like, not pamphlets, they're like chapbooks. There's three of those there. And they're funny. Those are all funny. A Man of La Mancha is a dramedy, and I hate to use it. It's a comedy. But it, you know, a good comedy has characters and feeling. It's about characters. So there's that. Sweet Shepherd is not a comedy at all. It's a drama. You can get those, and you can get my book of poems. I think it's $1.99, called Wordsworth Shelley. These are modern poems, romantic poems that use a classical approach. So if you study stuff, then maybe you understand that. If you don't, doesn't matter. Just telling you. And you can read about that too. So that's I don't know how many poems there are in that. 72, 33, 82, 92. So, these are books. The digital format of these books, you can give to anyone. And what they get out of it, if they love it, they'll love you forever. Because they're like, come on, you know, I never would have known that book existed because I'm not the kind of person who puts out books and I have the kind of name, that goes right to the top because everybody's, I'm gonna read that. In other words, it's not that mainstream, but it's good. And a lot of it is commercial and it's funny. A lot of it is funny. So there. All right. And you may never read, there's great reviews in there. I've never gotten a bad review. So that, you know, that could mean something to you or not, but I think you should do the reviewing. But I'm telling you that these are good. It's not like I'm going to go buy a new car based on the fact that I sold so many books. I'm not in that category. All right. Look, I've been doing this for nothing for I don't know how many longs, how many years, how many long years. Right. What have I made? A couple of pair of pants. That's a long story. But so there's the books. Is Amazon and following me at Frank Cotolo, as you can do on Twitter, because I am on Twitter and I've been there for a long time. Actually, I resisted for a long time. I've been on Facebook since way before the old time people. But I want you to all have a happy holidays and remember what Armie. What is that guy's name? In fact, Armand Hammer. Is that his name? Arnie Hammer played the Lone Ranger. I'm going to do that for you shortly after a breather, which, of course, is just that little thing that we play that makes you all go to the bathroom. It doesn't make you go to the bathroom. It gives you time to go to the bathroom. So you could do that and then come back and listen. And then I'll introduce once again, the segment about the Lone Ranger. You know, I could have done this. You know what's great about this, too? Wait, that's two questions. No, I mean, it's two. Oh, I opened up two streams of thought. I could have not told you and just played this as if it was me doing the show. And if you'd never heard that show, there might not be any indication that it was a show I did before. Might not. That's number one. What's number two? Oh, it's going to sound a little bit like it's on old time radio, which is great. It's not going to sound like you're listening to me now in a very clear and, it's not foggy. It's going to sound a little different, which is good because it makes me sound ancient, doesn't it? I sound ancient. What am I looking to find this one thing that says, CC, here we go, CC, this thing that I play, and then I'll come back, I'll talk to you, and this is Cotolo Chronicles. My name is Frank Cotolo, man's name is Joe Title Show. And then we're going to do the Lone Ranger bit thing there, and then I'll come back. Whatever we do, here on Y2K plus 16. Don't forget this, and I'll tell you this for next week. Wow, I wrote it down, and I'm still, you see what I mean? Lists and lists and lists. Next week, roll call from the Bone Garden. The artist D will be here with me, and we'll be doing what we do every year and what we've done since the year 1948. Fortunately, it was no internet at the time, so we just did it on the phone. you'll love this show if you've listened to past shows. The final Thursday of the year, we will be celebrating celebrities from all walks of life, science, entertainment, music, whatever, the arts, sports, wherever, people who we lost in the journey of life. That'll be Roll Call from the Bone Garden right here on Cotolo Chronicles.
Cotolo Chronicles, the internet talk show from the neo-postmodern world.
I don't know much about arthritis or anything. I do know that two fingers, and the exact two fingers on either hand. Is that how you say that correctly? Or on both hands, I should say. It's creaky. I don't know what that's all about. Coming soon also in Y2K plus 17 guests for the year, starting off with Jiggy Jaguar, who's always the first guest we have at the beginning of each year. And this year, he's catching hell for what? Again, he's going to catch hell. Now, you just listen to that and you'll find out why. So that'll be a spirited show on the, wait, let's see, January 5th. The 5th will be the first show of Y2K plus 17, all things being equal. And then throughout the months and what have you, what are we talking about? Dr. Andrew Woldor has already said, yes, it's been a long time and I have to come back. He will come back and be here. Dr. Gary Popoli, of course, will be back. He's exclusively talking about behavior and everything about Heather Drain, talking about the underground and C movies, B movies, D movies, and what have you, and all this stuff. And I'm still trying to get Linnea Quigley. A lot of you people know that name. I know Linnea Quigley, talk about B movies and C movies, very popular, long, a star of the screen of drive-in movies and what have you, who spoke her first words in a movie written by me. So I wrote her first one. I'm still trying to get a hold of her. I see her on Twitter, but she probably has 30,000 people who are, you know, we'll get it. We'll get a hold of Linnea Quigley. She's great, by the way. You can look her up on YouTube. Also, we're going to do things, these aren't planned. These are just ideas I have. We hopefully will get to them in Y2K plus 17 coming soon. Dun, 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 dun. The most dangerous people on the internet. Matt, more about the dark web. More about the dark web spooky things going on there. Also, we did search roulette. We're also going to do YouTube roulette and any number of other things. Any number of other things, he said, whatever that means. I'm also going to talk about, Irving Brecker, who will be on the roll call, I hope. Anyway, and more about, it's more about everything. We'll be doing a lot of stuff. Just to let you know that I don't completely block out the idea of this show and the thought of it in between, though I do so many other things. I am going to move to Cthulhu Chronicles from, let's see. Did I do it? Is it moving? I don't know. Well, that's not even what I want, is it? I want this. Is this here? No. There it goes. Okay, you heard it before it started. We're going to talk. I'm going to find the spot where I begin to talk. You may hear some old commercials. I don't know what's on here totally, but I do know. You're going to hear me, and I'm going to find that spot because I didn't look for it beforehand. You know, we're watching The Lone Ranger, the Adventures of the... There you go. Okay, here we go. Somehow this story. Let's see where it starts.
How they're playing a part in...
That's weird, listening to myself. How's it go? Let's find it. Let's go ahead.
Fringe vests.
The third man.
With the higher institutions of higher learning that would allow me...
Okay, whatever goes on, we're going to start it from right here. 13 minutes, 29 seconds into the show. Originally broadcast on this wonderful interweb machines and throughout the air and the cybers are everything. October 4th, 2012. Y2K plus 12. Here's me for however long I'm going to be talking in this particular thing. It'll be like I'm right there anyway. So don't look at it as a repeat.
To profess certain things that only people who have spent years and years in classrooms and academics and read tons of books. I've read tons of books. I was in school for years and years and years. I'm a college graduate. But still, I am not able to say these things without any other pretense other than to say, this is my opinion. And I believe, And I don't believe anything. Let's move that word completely out of the picture, okay? If there is a picture, because if there's a picture, I don't want the word believe in there. I think that pop culture is such a strong, incredible influence. It seeps into you, whether you know it or not. You absorb it. You assimilate that pop culture, which thrills you, which incites you, which inspires you. And especially when you're a kid, when your brain is not filled with anything but, sensations and feelings and stuff, you're starting to delineate them into words and thoughts and feelings and likes and dislikes, and starting to develop like a piece of clay, the details of your personality are being crafted, and the fingers of fate are all over your body, which can be fun, don't get me wrong, but as this is going on, stuff is being shot at you, thrown at you, tossed at you, and it's going right into your cavities, your senses. I don't know about your cavities, your senses. Actually, it can go into your cavities, go into your ears. An ear is a cavity. Isn't an ear a cavity? Your mouth is a cavity. These are cavities. I think that even you can use the word cavity for that. Okay, so what happens? So when in the course of human events, these things happen, you are developing one way or another, and these things are affecting you, okay? And you don't even know how they're playing a part in your behavior. Well, as a kid, you might know, and that's where this begins, although it began already, because the idea of cowboys and Indians and people who grew up in the 50s who were inundated, and I say inundated, almost accosted, assailed, they were pelted with heroes of the Old West, and pop culture just, it was like, you know, it was like a paramecium. I believe, and I'm not a scientist, and I'm not a chemist, nor have I gone higher educational institutions to be able to say, because I don't have any plaques on the wall about chemistry or anything, but if there's one thing I know, it's a paramecium. And a paramecium splits, and it's a cell, and it splits. And then the two pieces split, and then those two pieces split, and before you know it, you got a crowded room full of paramecium. Now I don't know how much room it takes to fill up a room with paramecium. I have no idea. I don't know how many paramecium it takes to screw in a light bulb either. I just know that paramecium, that's what happens. You know, like one thing in pop culture becomes a hit. And by hit, I mean it becomes popular. It's a phenomenal, people are running to it. And then suddenly, other things happen. It's like the paramecium that is splitting into two and then into four and then into six and eight and then squared, 10 squared, 9 squared, whatever. I'm not a mathematician, so I can't go into the astronomical numbers, that happens. But if you were a kid in the 50s now, And even in the 40s, because of radio in the 40s and 30s, was radio in the 30s? Sure, there were radio in the 30s. Nature and movies, there were movies, because they were cowboys and westerns were popular in movies. But during this time of the baby boomers in the 50s, this was a time of just unbelievable proliferation of Western heroes, real ones, fake ones, of real ones that were having fake adventures, because nobody knows. This is pop culture. It was creating, it was rewriting history. It was doing all the stuff, even when it used real people, and when it made up people, it was making history or it was using history. But this great genre of cowboys, I haven't looked this up, and I don't know. We just took it for granted when we were kids, you know. He's a cowboy. A cowboy. First of all, if you're a cow and you're not, I know that, but if you're a cow and you have a kid Actually, a kid is a goat. A kid is the son of a goat. You son of a goat. Kid is the son of a goat. Cow has a kid. It's a calf. A goat has a kid. It's a kid. Okay. But a cow doesn't have a boy if it has a male child. And a cow has to have a child. Because a bull can't have a child because a bull is a male. See, so a cow needs a bull. The bull needs a cow. They don't have a boy. They can have a male calf, but they can't have a kid. And a cow and a bull can't mate with a goat and have a kid because you can't have anything. That's just a deformed piece of something. And I don't know what they call that because I'm not a genealogist. I didn't go to college for that. I don't have a plaque for that. I'm just telling you. So why he's called the cowboy is probably because he was a boy, and a boy was used as a term for a man, because a young guy. Because remember, in the days of the Old West and in the olden times, before there was, miraculous penicillin, terramycin, and all those other fabulous drugs, people had short lifespans. So a boy could be a man. That a boy could be a man, and a kid could be a man, and a boy could be a kid even if a boy was not the son of a goat. Are you getting this down? Write this down. Use your Cthulhu Chronicles notebook and write this down, as Dr. Fablianek would say. I'm getting to the point that this cowboy, the legend of a cowboy, the idea of a cowboy, which, and this is what's really strange, if you want to say this strange, this is a intrinsically American figure, the cowboy. Intrinsically American. And yet, you'll find in Japan, the genre of Westerns was imitated, and they would have Japanese cowboys. And in fact, when they didn't do that, the Japanese had famous stories like the Seven Samurai, which in America, they turned into a cowboy movie called The Magnificent Seven. Samurai does not mean magnificent. Anyway, seven, it's not seven magnificence. But they changed it into the Magnificent Seven. But in Japan, they actually did, and remember the spaghetti westerns? That's where Clint Eastwood made his bones. Although he was on one of the TV cowboy shows that we're going to talk about. Is that what we're going to talk about? It is. My name is Frank Cotolo. I'm the man whose name is the title of this show. I'm chronicling all this. And, what does this have to do with Y2K plus 12? It has to do with many, many facets of pop culture. And it all came to me because I saw a photograph of Johnny Depp in his role as Tonto in the Lone Ranger movie, which is coming out in July. It's a summer movie. It's a reboot of The Lone Ranger, which was, I grew up with The Lone Ranger, a cowboy series ever so popular to kids from 1 to 10. I was 8, 7, 6, 9. See, I couldn't count either. and The Lone Ranger, William Boyd, and Jay Silverheels, and I could tell you a little bit about Jay Silverheels too, because oddly enough, our paths cross in other ways later on in life. But forget about it. This pop culture thing that goes on, and kids in urban neighborhoods like me. I'm not an urban neighborhood. I mean, I was in, and the kids in like me in urban neighborhoods growing up, like in Brooklyn or in New York or Chicago and Los Angeles, places like Detroit, and we're watching The Lone Ranger, the adventures of The Lone Ranger. This cowboy, not a superhero, but this cowboy, it was kind of, this mystery cowboy guy. A kind of Zorro. Well, anyway, this is all neo-postmodern, in the sense that, everything comes from something else. Pop culture is this great blend of fiction, literature, poetry, and what have you, and I know you have. So we're going to be talking about that because I saw the new Tonto, and you can see him too, and you will in the movie, and there's a lot of fascinating things related to rebooting the Lone Ranger in this new movie. And again, for a new generation, another old piece of pop culture revitalized, put through the new technical machine that now produces movies and everything you see on your internet and everything else, right? Totally different. The new morality, the things that you can see now in movies that were never shown back then. You know, I remember in The Lone Ranger, guys would get shot on television. Guys would get shot. They'd shoot people. The Lone Ranger would shoot people. Bad guys would shoot. They'd be shooting, you know, with these six guns. And you never saw blood. No blood. All right, so the big difference is now The Lone Ranger coming to the screen again. There have been other reboots. They've taken other cowboy series and such. And these cowboy series are wonderful little pieces of drama and characterization that are always worth knowing about and understanding where they their origins. So we're going to go into all that. Because I was there. I was a kid with a little fringe vest and a cowboy hat in an apartment in Brooklyn with a holster and guns and a cowboy. I wanted to be a cowboy. I didn't really actually want to be a cowboy. You know, you want to be a cowboy when you're watching it. And you would put, and it's just, it's amazing. And it's going to be everything that happens to us right now for the next, at least hour and a half or That's some odd hour and a half, isn't it? My name is Frank Atolo. I'm the man whose name adorns the title of the show. Let me deliver to you some things that, of course, get out your notebook. Write a lot of these things down. Places you might go on, you know, YouTube and MyTube and all these other tubes they have where you could see if you haven't seen or don't know about any of these old cowboy heroes. The changes in Tonto, and wouldn't it be great to see a lot of these other, you know, if The Lone Ranger becomes an extremely powerfully money-making movie, because that's also how Hollywood works. If it makes a lot of money, who knows? You might be seeing the Cisco Kid, Cheyenne, Sugarfoot. You might be seeing Wyatt Earp again. He's been in a number of movies, but not Wyatt Earp. How about Hawkeye and the Last of the Mohicans. Oh, you see, there's a whole bunch of stuff. We'll get into it. First, let's talk about books.
In a world where reading is dying out, a new champion emerges. Wacky Escapades. Parallel Universes.
Hello, everyone. This is me, Frank Cotolo.
There's never a dull moment as Frank weaves the tale of a writer making you laugh, chuckle, and learn a bit about life. Pick up License to Scale by Frank Cotolo, now on Amazon for your Kindle.
I think also on Amazon now, and you can now get, again, you can get this Cotolo Chronicles on iTunes. That's been revitalized. There have been a number of things that have been reconstructed. Anyway. Our new association with OutLoudShows.com is where you can go to download this show, other shows. There's going to be a best of. So if you missed a lot of shows, and I know you have, get on over there, OutLoudShows.com. And you can get this show downloaded, leave comments, talk to me. Anything you want to do. Plus, there's a lot of other great shows. Sports shows for you sports fans. And the Fabulous D is over there also. And Juno. And there's a bunch of, I'll talk more about that as time goes on. And we'll be playing a lot of their promos too once we get our acts together. But I say that because we're also on iTunes again, which has an Amazon. Does that have anything to do with Amazon? I don't know. But anyway, License to Skill is still available, $2.99. It's a long book, but you don't have to devote your life to reading it. It's funny, and it's a great thing. It's a piece of pop culture. A lot of stuff going on in that book. You'll enjoy it. I'm sure you will. just don't read it in the library because you'll laugh out loud. And the librarian's bound to come over and go, you, out. Let me talk first about the Lone Ranger. And then we'll go into some of this other stuff. And I might even play some things because there's just, it's fascinating how all this stuff comes together and how the effect it has on your life. That, and when you funnel all this stuff into a nucleus, can you funnel into a nucleus? I wonder. Wasn't that what the Manhattan Project was all about? Huh? You got Einstein and Oppenheimer and say, hey, what do you need to do? I need you to funnel into a nucleus. Can you do that? The nucleus, the core, the bottom line, keep looking for that phrase, okay? All this stuff funnels to how this pop culture affected you as a kid. Now, you might not be Westerns for you. It might be something else. But every time something like this happens, I notice having lived through, fortunate enough to have lived through layers of generations, the pop culture that has changed over the years. So when I see Johnny Depp playing this character, Tonto, then I am immediately, comparing it to the Tonto I grew up with, which, by the way, is the name of my new book, The Tonto I Grew Up With. Now, if I could only get that title not to end in with, The Tonto With Whom I Grew Up. Yes, that's the name of the book. The Tonto With Whom I Grew Up. I know it sounds wrong. A lot of times English is right when it is correct when it sounds incorrect. But when I see Johnny Depp, I say, whoa. You see the new millennium Tonto, which is, and this is really strange too, because consider that these reboots, this particular version of the Lone Ranger coming out, and you could see, they already have, if you Google pictures of the movie, and I think there's a trailer or something. I don't know, there's no trailer, there's pictures, there's stills or something. It's not coming out till July, but, you know, you could, you got to remember that this is taking place, this whole scenario, the whole style of this movie that's being, that is just wrapped, being finished in movie language in the mountains or wherever the heck, in the prairie, whichever left of the prairie out there in the West, or maybe they did it in Western Canada. I don't know. They do a lot of that. You know, they fake locations. They're not fake locations. They're real locations, but they say it's one place and it's another. But this movie is supposed to take place in cowboy times. What are cowboy times? The 1800s, you know, when the country of the United States and Canada is still, the manifest destiny, which is heading west, and that's still developing. There's towns growing up, and there's growing up. There's towns developing, the culture is just changing because, not changing, it's moving, and it's coming a big country with little pockets of states, and, you know, it's young. It's a young country, and it's a young continent, if you're talking about North America. And there are cowboys, by the way, in Canada, The Cowboys of Canada, which is another book I'm writing. I'm not. The Cowboys of Canada, because, you know, it's just one big plot of land, you know? So, there are cowboys. Obviously, if you go to Alberta, you know, they have the Stampede there, and they have a park called Stampede Park, and they have the whole week full of cowboy type stuff. Because the West is the West. Okay, the West is, even if it's America, okay, so there were cowboys everywhere. And of course, there's the Northwest Passage, which is a cowboy story, which has to do with the Indians, which are up there and, that were up there too. What do you think? The Indians just stopped and said, I'm like, we can't go into that country. That's, don't go. That's Canada. Like, they talk like that. I don't know. See, the whole thing is a mess. And the stereotypes are always stereotypes are always based on truths. But you know what gets in the way? Pop culture. And people who are writing things, stories and well, in this case, TV shows, radio shows, making up characters, using the forms of drama, and truth and history, it's all getting meshed and mixed up, and they're creating stuff. For instance, let me give you the perfect example of this. Tonto, and I don't know if Johnny Depp's going to do this, but the Lone Ranger, and I don't even know if you know the Lone Ranger, but I'll tell you about the Lone Ranger in a second. But Tonto is the Lone Ranger's sidekick. It's like, and he's an Indian who's lost his tribe. Now, and of course, we all know that Indians are not Indians. They're not from India. They're misnamed, group of people who are literally Native Americans. That's what they're called now. And in fact, I remember when my son was a little boy, in this day and age, I used to go out and play cowboys and Indians. And then my kids go out and play cowboys and Native Americans now. They did, you know, because everything's changed. The culture's changed. The jargon's changed. We can't say this, that, and the other thing. It's all a mess. But they were Indians, the cowboys and Indians. And Tonto was a, and I don't even know where you get a name like Tonto, because I always thought, you know, in Indian culture, not Indian culture, Native American culture, I thought that back in those days, fathers named their babies after the first thing they saw when they came out of the tent, where the wife, with a squaw, I think a squaw is a wife and a wife is a squaw, I don't know, it was having the baby in the tent. And then the man who was the brave, which is also a noun, if you're a brave, or he was the chief, whoever, this guy came out of the tent after the child was born. I guess he checked the sex of the child, came out, and then the first thing he saw was the stream trickling down on the horizon as he came out. And so, so the kid was named Running Stream, okay, or he looked up into the sky and he saw a bald eagle, and the kid was named Bald Ego. Eagle. Bald Ego. What's that? That was Yul Brynner, I think. A Bald Ego. That was his first movie. And I don't know, but I always thought that was it. Now that too, I mean, I don't know where truth begins, fiction and legend ends. And that's what pop culture does. It makes this one big cauldron of facts and figures and ideas and thoughts. And it's delicious, but you have no idea what's true. See, so I have all this stuff that you learn through the years, and it all starts with this pop culture. So here's this Tonto. Where does he get a name like Tonto? What does that mean? What does Tonto mean? They make it up. The guy who wrote The Lone Ranger just, I don't know, Tonto. What is a Tonto? And no one knows. It actually sounds Italian, huh? Eh, Tonto. Come on, you make a nice bowl of spaghetti, huh? Tonto. I don't know. But anyway, Tonto is this lost... Now, don't ask me how... And we're going to call them Indians. I'm not going to call them Native Americans. Because this is about cowboys and Indians. Back in those days when it was okay to say, you know, they're still Indians, okay? Well, how does an Indian lose a tribe? I mean, Indians are supposed to be good, too. They're supposed to be able to put their ear to the ground and hear the rumbling of horses miles away because they can hear it from the ground. And they, right? You remember that? They knew all about nature because they lived in nature. They wore loincloths and things, and they worshiped the sun and the eagles and stuff. How does he like lose his tribe? Now, later on in life, I learned something about, I know in certain civilizations, although that were not Indian civilizations, like an Amazon and jungle civilizations, people were outcasts. They were tossed out of tribes. They were tossed out of their little civilizations in towns and communities and that were developed, pockets of communities in like Africa and other, uncivilized places. In jungles and, you know, things. So I don't know, maybe Tonto was like a renegade, and what a renegade is what they used to call Indians too. You grow up like I do in that time, and you learn and you hear things like, you look at pop culture. The first time I hear about General Custer is that he died because there weren't enough soldiers, and the Indians slaughtered him and killed him. They did, but it takes years to learn. I grew up And to learn that, like, this guy really had it coming, okay? Him and a whole bunch of them had it coming. And then you hear about scalping. You know, Indians used to scalp, people. You know, what were we doing, too? What were these Americans doing? I mean, these Native Americans, these Indians were here already, right? And people were coming from all over the place. The country was growing, and there were the armies and people with uniforms, and they're what? And they're, what are they doing? You know, they're taking over all this land that is owned owned. I mean, it's not owned because the Indians don't have, like, papers that they own the territory, but there are all these tribes, and they live there, and these soldiers, and okay, so you know, it's a whole different thing. Indians or Native Americans, okay, during this time in pop culture, get the rawest deal, and they're called renegades and savages and uncivilized, you know, they're bad guys, and this is Tonto. Now, the interesting thing about the Lone Ranger, why is he the Lone Ranger? The Lone Ranger. First of all, he's the only ranger of his type because he was the origin of the Lone Ranger. And I don't know. I didn't look it up. You could go look it up later when you do your any kind of research you want on this. I don't know who wrote this or comes from some. I think it comes from some story way, way back a long time ago in a comic book or a story, when a dime novel or a nickel novel or a penny novel. But the Lone, he was a member of the Texas Rangers. See? Texas Rangers. Not, you know, and this is before, now there's a baseball team named Texas Rangers, but you know what I mean. The Texas Rangers were like police guys. They were like, Rangers. Like, they were Rogers Rangers in the Northwest Passage. You know, those guys were army guys of some sort. But anyway, Texas Rangers. And there was just one group of Texas Rangers that were slaughtered. I don't think they were slaughtered by Indians. I think they were slaughtered by regular bad guys. like real bad guys, you know, because the guys with the black hats, because black hats are representative of the bad guys. And although the Lone Ranger, no, did he have a white hat? I don't know. Maybe that was Hopalong Cassidy, who didn't, by the way, hop along. I have no idea. That's just another character. But the Lone Ranger was the one left from this group of Rangers they were killed, they were slaughtered, and he lived. Now, because he lived, he donned a mask. Nobody knew who he was anyway, so I don't know why he put the little black mask on, like that was gonna, nobody knew him. He's the Lone Ranger. He had a name, his name was, I don't know, Skippy McGord or something, who knows? You read this original story, you find out the origin, and it'll probably be in the movie, so I don't want to, like, ruin it for you. But they may have changed that also. See, they may have actually altered that. Because it's pop culture, and you gotta do what you gotta do to make the drama different, and to make the drama available to the new technology. So anyway, the people who see the Lone Ranger for the first time in this Johnny Depp movie, I forgot the name of the guy playing the Lone Ranger. I don't even know him. But I know Johnny Depp. Doesn't matter. Okay. Now they change that, and people are going to know only that Lone Ranger. They're not going to know William Boyd. No, it wasn't William Boyd. Clayton Moore. That was Clayton Moore is the name of the guy who played the Lone Ranger on television. William Boyd was, Tim, this is just coming out of my head now. I didn't write William Boyd was Hopalong Cassidy. So that was the Lone Ranger. So suddenly he puts on a black mask and decides to, be like a pot. Actually, he's a thing that Death Witch wished, that he's the thing that, that guy, that, a desperado, he's not desperado. He's a vigilante. That's what we call a vigilante, which also sounds Italian. Maybe that's Tonto's last name. Tonto Vigilante is my name. I don't think so. So Tonto somehow left his tribe, meets up, I don't know how, and again, it doesn't matter how, because there's no way how. I mean, they rewrote the Lone Ranger. Tonto is going to meet this guy, Skippy McJorgo, whatever his name might be. We don't even know if that's his real name. Pop culture can change it. They know they've rewritten this thing, okay? And somehow they become a team. The Lone Ranger and Tonto. You might have heard the phrase, hi-ho, silver, and away. You know why? Because that, hi-ho, silver, and away, because the Lone Ranger's horse, and he gets his horse, you know where he gets his horse? He gets his horse out in the wild. He's a wild horse. He's like, he's a bronco. He's one of these horses, the exact kind of horse that all the guys are going searching for in that very famous Arthur Miller story, which became a movie called The Misfits. Right? Those wild horses out there in the out there. And what is that? In fact, The Misfits is a story of a bunch of, you know, dinosaurs, not monsters. I mean, the types of people who went out and caught horses, wild horses, and brought them in. Where'd they bring them in? No, they brought them to civilization, trained them, you know, they broke them. That's what they call broke. They broke the horses. So what am I saying? I'm saying, that the Lone Ranger finds his horse, Silver. And whenever, he was, going to, you know, just, I'm trying to call something up here to say that. Whenever he's trying to call, whenever he's going to leave, with his horse, he gets on his horse and he's going to leave. And, his signature way of leaving. And remember, he's out in the middle of nowhere. He's just with Tonto. I don't remember Tonto's horse's name, but I'm sure it has a name and it might have changed. So I might tell you the one that I remember. But Silver, I'm sure they're going to keep Silver. He goes, hi ho, Silver, and away. That's what he does. And kids would do that. And you know, they dress up like, hi ho, Silver. You'd use a couch or you'd get on a chair or something. They'd believe it was Silver. But he's in the middle of nowhere. He makes the horse do this circus acting, you know, where the horse goes on the back, hind legs, puts his front legs up, and you know, goes, does a neigh or a gnaw or a nay-gnaw, whatever they call that, and he yells in the middle of nowhere, hi-ho, Silver, and away. Okay, so he's telling the horse, he's telling Silver, these are all little pieces of this Lone Ranger thing. I don't know what they're going to do in the movie or how they're going to change it, but I'm telling you this stuff so that when you see the movie, you understand that. And then we're going to show you, we're going to go in the second hour, we're going to talk to you about more of the other characters during that time. The Lone Ranger was just one. And they, if this becomes popular, they're going to reboot any number of other cowboys from the 50s, and a lot of this stuff has already been rebooted. The Lone Ranger is not the first, okay? Someone just got the idea and got the money up. Now, here's something else that's really great, and that is if you were a child of the 50s and the Lone Ranger was a show you watched and it was something that excited you, you were also exposed to something you may never have been exposed to, okay? And that is classical music. And this is where pop culture becomes an absolute wonderful theater and our school, if you really look into stuff. And so on television, some brilliant person decided, because, you know, cowboy shows, like all the shows, they have theme songs. And sometimes they'd have people write those theme songs and they'd, you know, when I, you know, like Rawhide, was it, you know, remember that? Coming up, have it in, kick it out, rub it in, Rawhide. And there were songs, that were kind of, Johnny Yuma was a rebel. He roamed through the West. And they had all these kind of very, Western, type, based on very classical, American classical music. We can get into that later, if we do get into that at all. But the thing I'm talking about here is the Lone Ranger. Remember, the Lone Ranger on television, his theme song, somebody said, you know what? You know what sounds like a horse, like going through the, running? Like the Lone Ranger? And someone who obviously was a bit more erudite than the hacks that made these television shows. Somebody must have said, I got an idea. Why don't we use, Rossini? Rossini? Yeah. Why don't we use Rossini? Rossini. What's that? Rossini. Giacchino Rossini. Imagine when they first played this, and the guys, when they were developing the TV show, and this is brilliance. This is the Lone Ranger theme. Hundreds of years after Rossini writes this as part of a symphony about William Tell. I'm a kid and I hear this and I am exposed to this, I mean, forget about cowboys. This opens up my entire world. If you were lucky, at the end of the program, they would run credits so long that you'd hear the length of this. Because when you're a kid and you're watching cowboy shows, you're not listening to classical records. This, to the kid, to the television baby boomer, is the theme to the Lone Ranger. Of course, kind of rides behind him, you know, because he's the secondary, you know, the third man's watching them both. But look at this. I guess William Tell rode a horse too. We're gonna run it out. It's just too good. Come on, stop it. That's the way most classical pieces ended. They could be incredibly different from one another. So as a kid, I'm associating, you don't get any further. Well, actually, it's really not that different. The William Tell is kind of it's English. It was English. That's an English story. William Tell with the apple shooting the, he has a crossbow. I don't know what William Tell does. He's shot an apple off his child's head, and saved the kid's life. He was a good shot. But the deal with that was a very English thing. So, and Rossini is Italian, and somebody in Hollywood said, that's it. And when he played that, and that was his idea, whoever this person, there's no credits. The person doesn't get credit. It's a genius move to use that. To my knowledge, there's not one other cowboy television show that is associated with a piece of classical music. But the important thing here is what we were saying from the beginning, is that how this pop culture really affects you. I was really touched by that, and by that theme, of course, not just because it meant the Lone Ranger and Tonto was coming on television and there'll be a new episode. And I'll take it back to the days of yesteryear when men were men and women were glad of it or whatever they said. And the thing is that, that eventually, I was in school and the first time I heard an orchestra play live, I was sitting in some kind of auditorium. It wasn't a very big auditorium. And they said, and they announced that, that now the orchestra, full orchestra, I mean, we're talking horns and trombones and glockenspiels, timpani drums, and a guy with the jacket that doesn't fit, and the thing, you know, that, you know, whatever, the baton is, the whole deal. And the orchestra was going to play. And you know what they played? The first thing they played, the first thing I heard from a live orchestra in my life was the William Tell Overture. Now, they announced they're going to play the William Tell Overture. I'm like, oh, boy. Everybody's looking around going, oh, boy. Oh, gosh, why do we have to come here? Well, at least we're not in class, you know, with Mrs. Darlene or whatever her name was, Mrs. Dorchester, the old battle axe talking about math and, you know, giving us, you know, we didn't want to be there anyway. So we're out and it's wonderful. And but we're going, okay, fine. So we'll sit through the William Tell Overture. And then out of nowhere, what do we hear? We hear that. And we go, wait a second. It's the William Tell Overture? Isn't that? Everybody, Johnny looks at me. I look at Keith. Keith looks at Barry. Barry looks at Joel. Joel looks at Charlie. Charlie looks at Jimmy. And then we look at each other and go, holy crap! It's the Lone Ranger! Suddenly, my attention is entirely on what's going on live in front of me, around me. So what happened was this. I was exposed to classical music, but live classical music. And if I go to a shrink or anywhere I go, you put me under hypnosis. Is it under hypnosis? You could hypnotize me. Hypnotize me. And you will hear the voice talk about how that planted the seed for anything I would do in music in my entire life, that orchestra, and the feeling that it gave me, the excitement that it put into a part of me that was I did not know existed, but was awakened, and suddenly, whammo, there was a world that was beyond cowboys and heroes and adventure and romance, which of course continued in that form and in literature, but music. Because why? Because I was a kid watching a black and white TV with a screen that's thicker than like, it still is so thick. And images, black and white images. And that sound, that music, the Lone Ranger rides again. And Tonto. Tonto's changed over the years immensely because they all do. And we'll talk more about that as we move on here. My name is Frank Cotolo. The man whose name adorns the title of this show. This is Cotolo Chronicles. And it means Cotolo Chronicles. It's what I do.
How about that, huh? I know when I listen to those things I said, I don't listen to myself ordinarily. Well, what, do you listen to yourself strangely? I don't, but wow, that was a very expressive and entirely true experience. And I wonder, that's pretty good. It's me, Frank Cotolo, as he said, he being me back then. Frank Cotolo, man's name adorns the title of the show. For those of you who are listening live, and to some of you who are listening lifelike on another station, that will run the show that is going to broadcast after this show. Of course, Tom Savino and Savino Veritas. I still can't say it unless I say it like that. You can't just say Savino Veritas. And yet, there's a lot of foreign words you could say, but you have to, that you could just say in English, and a lot of English words that come from foreign words, but foreign language words. But when you say Veritas, you have to say Veritas. To say it like, almost like Bela Lugosi, which is not French at all. It's Romanian. Veritas. Tolino. Veritas. Tolino. Or you say it like Boris Karloff. Savino Veritas. Tuff. Then you have to put the lisp in there. You will hear Savino Veritas, the Christmas edition, I guess. I don't know. I, he does what he does, and I love it, and you should too. And those stations who might just be exposed to this show right now that do not know about Savino Veritas, you too can say Veritas wherever you go when it's on. You can get the show and broadcast it for free on your station just like you do with this one. Savino Veritas. I'm out there all the time encouraging other stations to pick it up, Savino Veritas. And you could play it not as part of the show, but you could put it after this show just the way it runs when it runs live. By runs, I mean the broadcasts. You can do that. Go to juicedtalk.com. J-U-I-C-E-D. J-U-I-C. Is that it? I don't even know how to spell it if I don't look at it. Juicedtalk.com. And you can download it from there and play it on your station. It's one more great hour, an hour and a half, however long he wants to do it. Right there. Also, at that particular station, that point, that website, oh wow, I had to see how I went there. You can get the series or portions of the series, outtakes of the series, the comedy series from the 1970s, and featuring Tom Savino and Frank Cotola, that's me, called Dead Air. This is all free. We're giving it away, kids. You know why? Because why not? Why not? That's what the internet is all about, sharing these wonderful moments of our lives. And way before there was internet radio, there were a lot of things. And back then, there was Tom Savino and Frank Cotola, Dead Air. Groundbreaking in broadcasting. And I am the bard of broadcasting now. That's what's happened to me. I didn't ask for this. The Waska Witches said, you do it, or else. Not or else, they didn't do that. He said, you do it, you will be on a long time. A long time. And even when they left, the Waska Witches, out into build submarines and do other things. And we've had them on here and then too. The Waska Witches. The Waska Witches. Sounds like the Waska Witches of Eastwick. No. The Waska Witches, even then. When they left, when Amcast.com was gone, of course, along came SRN Media Works. And so many offers from so many others who said, we'll take you live. And we chose and went. But you could still have me, if not live, just like you'd have Tom Savino. Lifelike. That's what I call the rebroadcast. It's lifelike. So why don't you? Anyway, juicedtalk.com. Tom also has, and I don't remember the name of it, but you could find it, a blog, a terribly funny blog, which is also satirically funny. Satirically? Where did I get that? A satirical blog, many, many laughs await you. and Tom, you don't have to agree with people to laugh with them or at the things they do. Don't be so damn serious about any of this stuff. You know me. I wouldn't tell you that if I didn't think. I don't care. Also, still time, as I mentioned, to get books, Amazon.com, and Lulu.com, Blurb. That's BLURB.com. And don't stop though. and just give them to friends and then go away. Get other people to buy them and you'll enjoy them. And if you don't enjoy them, you'll write to me, fcatolo@yahoo.com, and you will write, and I expect this, Frank, I got those books. And even though they were very inexpensive, I hate what you did. I don't care. Do that. It's all right with me. Exposing, and I'm very confident about that stuff. And I ask you to buy it also all of this stuff helps support keeping alternative broadcasting alive. As I have done, and as I have done, I was trying to say, I've championed this format, even when the dirty nasters, from the regular media, I am bashing the media. I only bash them because, you know, oh, that's another story altogether. I want to remind you that next week, the 29th, final Thursday of Y2K Plus 16, the artist D will be here, and it will be time for Roll Call from the Bone Garden. It was a plentiful year for the passing of celebrities, which, you know, what can I tell you? I wish, did you ever see Death Takes a Holiday or the reboot of that? Meet Joe Black? Well, you get an idea. It doesn't happen. And many, many celebrities wind up in the Bone Garden. And they're still going to happen. Between now and next week, there'll be others added to the list. We will start in January. Well, when we won't start. We will start reading the list in January from January 2016, go all the way through to December. As many as possible. A lot of these you will know about. A lot of these you won't remember because it was early on. A lot of these you love. A lot of these you don't like. A lot of these you don't even know. But there are, because we have a list that just, it's better than any other list because it features a lot of the ones you'll never hear about on major shows, right? Like major TV shows and news shows. They don't do it. There's a wonderful one running, as it always does, on the Turner Classic Movies. But that's just people related to the movies. And we don't just do that. We don't just do singers. And we don't just do music and art. And there are plumbers. The most popular plumber in the world. We'll do all sorts of people will be on that show. And we will have some personal stories about them. And we will have, wonderful. This is a celebration. We don't do it to make fun of these people who have passed on. This is a celebration. The roll call. From the Bone Garden for Y2K Plus 16. All right? I think you got that now. Coming up is Savino Veritas. Say it together. Savino Veritas. Say it. Savino Veritas. It's coming up. And you stay on. Stay on what? You used to say like, stay tuned in, I guess. Stay tuned in. Don't tune in. Don't tune out. My name is Frank Cotolo, the man whose name adorns the title of this show. I am the creator and the originator of Internet Talk Radio, the Bard of Broadcasting. So screw ya all, the rest of yous, but not my good friend, my brother, Tom Salino, and the Veritas. The truth awaits you, my friends. Go buy the books. CotoloChronicles.blogspot.com and yes, I may still do things there. fcotolo@yahoo.com, frankcotolo@facebook, @frankcotolo@twitter. For gosh sakes, you know, it's just way too much Frank Cotolo, but hey, I'm still here. I am just like the incredible shrinking man. So good night, Mrs. Ernstwhile, wherever you may be located. Stay tuned. Stay tuned. That's a good thing, too. It has a double, it has a lot of double, triple meaning. Meaning, not meeting. Oh, boy. Have happy holidays. We'll see you for the roll call. And bring it in the new year. I'll leave you now. Why? Because I have nothing more to say.